Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill, the pastor of Providence Church, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. Today is Tuesday, August 10th, 2021. This is edition number 55 of season 4 of the Morning Devotional. Yesterday, we considered what the first commandment is and what's required in it. Today, we're going to look at what's forbidden by the first commandment. But let's pray first, and then we'll look at this question. Our God in heaven, now as we come to your word, we ask that you might bless it to our minds and to our hearts, that as we hear from the Spirit, as exposited through these men of old, as they seek to explain to us this first commandment, that we might hear your word and that we might respond accordingly. Give us a willing heart and a willing mind. Humble us, Lord, under these very important things, that we might indeed worship and glorify you as you have told us to do in your word. So be gracious to us. Give us your spirit, we ask, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, yesterday, as I've mentioned, we considered questions 45 and 46. We considered what the first commandment is, and then we considered what is required within it. Now, as it's being taught to us, now we're going to look at what is forbidden. Question number 47, what is forbidden in the first commandment? The first commandment forbiddeth the denying or not worshiping and glorifying the true God as God and our God, and the giving of that worship and glory to any other which is due to him alone. The first thing to note in that answer is that the first commandment forbiddeth the denying the true God as God. In Psalm 14, we have one of many statements in the Bible as to the foolishness of denying the true God of the Bible. Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they do abominable deeds, there is none who does good. Now here, as David is writing this, he makes it very clear, very pointed statement, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. God has revealed himself. In Psalm 19, we take note of how God has done that through general revelation or through his creation. He has also done that in Psalm 19. We also see how he has revealed himself in his word. And so to ignore first what we see and notice every single day of our lives as we walk out our doors and we behold the sunshine or the rain, whatever the case may be, the clouds, as we see the seasons come and go, as with the sun rises and the sun sets, the moon and the stars, and we witness all of these wonderful things with our own eyes, to deny that there's a God is foolishness. It's utter foolishness. And man, of course, has labored throughout the centuries to seek to prove that God does not exist and seek to deny that God exists. Well, the Bible says that these people are just fools. They're foolish, and they're behaving foolishly. Goes on to say, not only is it forbidden to deny the one true God as God, it also goes on to say that it's also foolishness to not worship and glorify him, the true God, as God. And we note this from Romans chapter 1. The Apostle Paul begins his lengthy treatment on the critical doctrines of depravity and sin, and justification, sanctification, adoption, glorification, and election, and so forth. But in Romans chapter 1, as he begins his treatise on these matters, there we read in verses 20 and 21, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. Now that they is men, all men, are without excuse. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And then it goes on to talk about all the things that they do as a result of these things. But the fact remains here is that people know there's a God. How do they know? They're made in his image. God has made man unique over the beasts of the field. We are made in the very image of God. We have his moral law placed upon us. We are reasonable creatures. We are able to think and reason and rationalize and work through things. And so as Paul says, although they knew God, and indeed we all know God, we all know there is a God, they don't honor him. and worship him. Instead, they seek to worship something else. They, because of this denial of the true God, they become futile in their thinking. And note that word that David used in Psalm 14, their foolish hearts were darkened. And as a result of their foolish hearts being darkened, they claim to be wise, they become fools, they exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. And then verse 24, God gives them up to their passions, their sinful lusts and desires. So it's forbidden to do this. It's forbidden to exchange the true God for images, exchange the revelation of the true God of the Bible for any other thing. Again, the burden is on the fact that we must seek the true God as he has revealed himself. Well, then it goes on to say, in the giving of that worship and glory to any other, which is due to him alone. And so Psalm 81, we must acknowledge, of course, that the true God of the Bible is God. And we must not give that worship and glory to any other. So in Psalm 81, in verses 10 and 11, we read, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Now that language does sound very familiar. That's right out of the first commandment, isn't it? Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. Now, what is being highlighted here is the sin of idolatry that the people of old fell into. They embraced and adopted the very religious practices of the land in which they were given and told not to intermingle with these things, to drive them away from them. They did not do that, and as a result, they inherited or adopted much of the pagan practices of the land. And we do that too, and it's forbidden in the first commandment to do that. We are not to give our worship and glory. We are not to serve other people or things in this way. We are to give that worship and glory to God alone. He alone is worthy of it. That's the etymology of the word worship. And so Israel fell miserably in this, and we do too when we fail to heed the instructions of what is forbidden in the first commandment. If he is truly God, and he is, then he alone is to be worshipped and glorified. It is due to him. He alone is the all-glorious one of whom we should give our allegiance and love and affection. Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 16 through 18, we read there of Ezekiel's vision, and he brought me into the inner court of the house of the Lord, and behold, at the entrance of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs to the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, worshiping the sun toward the east. Okay, so you can see the problem, worshiping the created things. Then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Is it too light a thing for the house of Judah to commit the abominations that they commit here, that they should fill the land with violence and provoke me still further to anger? Behold, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore I will act in wrath. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. They will not be heard because of their transgression, as it's described here, this abomination of worshiping the creation and not God himself. And then a verse I've already read and won't make much comment on, Romans 1:25, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. So God turns them over to the passions of their own minds and hearts and the desires of the flesh when they reject the true God of the Bible. And so as redeemed people, we have to be very careful of this. We do sin daily in thought, word, and deed. We fall short of God's glory. And we must heed the instructions or the exhortation of Calvin when he says that we are but nothing but idol factories. And it's true. We give our allegiance and our hearts and our affections to so many different things that will not satisfy, cannot satisfy. It could be a possession. It could be a person. It could be a career, an occupation. Whatever it may be, we are to give that full-out worship and glory to the God of heaven only, the God who has revealed himself to his people. Well, May, I trust that these times are helpful for you. If they are, if you have any comments, please leave me a note. That information is there on the screen. And so until Wednesday, when we begin to look at question number 48, I trust the Lord will help you today. Serve him alone. Serve him only. Worship and glorify him accordingly, because he is certainly worthy of it. God bless.